Wednesday in Cupertino, California, Apple will release its much-anticipated new line of iPhone models. But what does this move mean for the strategy of the world's most valuable public company and the future of its products? This is TikTok. I'm Dave Myers. Mark Gurman covers Apple for Bloomberg News in Los Angeles and joins me now. Mark, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Big day tomorrow.
Well, we've known tomorrow's event has been coming for a few weeks now, but that doesn't mean there's not much excitement. So set the scene for this highly anticipated event.
So tomorrow is Apple's biggest day of the year, and that's a little bit surprising because it was only about a month and a half ago when they hit a $1 trillion valuation. So this is an even bigger deal than that because this is going to, you know, put them on pace for, you know, perhaps hitting, you know, well past $1 trillion towards $2 trillion. This is when they're going to introduce their latest iPhone strategy and the new Apple Watch, which should excite both consumers and investors alike.
So $2 trillion is eventually the goal, we'll say, but what can we expect that will help tomorrow to get them there eventually?
Well, they're shifting their iPhone strategy a bit here. So last year they came out with the iPhone 8, the 8 Plus, which were very minor upgrades over the prior year's iPhone 7 models, which were minor upgrades over the past two models before that. But this year they're going all in on the iPhone 10. So they're going to update the iPhone 10 and come out with a phone called the iPhone 10S. So that basically implies it'll have a faster processor, some camera upgrades, various other bells and whistles. And then in addition to that, there will be two other phones. There'll be a bigger version of the iPhone 10 tomorrow, likely to be called the iPhone 10S Max, plus a lower cost version, likely to be called the iPhone 10R. And if you think about why they would want to go with R, I think of two reasons. One, reality. They might want to position this as a phone for augmented reality, even though the cameras, in all honesty, won't be better than the ones on the other two models. It's just a good marketing thing for them, given their bigger push to AR and VR, but also because R comes before S in the alphabet. So maybe, you know, seriously, I think that might be it. So just a tad below, given it's the lower cost phone, but it still looks and acts like an iPhone 10, the other phones.
But it's not just these three phones that we'll learn about tomorrow, is it?
No, there'll be much more than that. They'll talk a little bit more about the software, iOS 12 that they announced in June that were announced for these new iPhones as well as older iPhone models, plus the biggest revamp to the Apple Watch since it was first announced back in 2014.
So let's talk about what this means for Apple's strategy. What do you think it means?
So we're at the point where the smartphone market is completely saturated. There was a time years ago, back in 2014, where Apple was seeing maybe 30 to 40% year-over-year growth in iPhone unit sales, but that is no longer the reality. They're lucky to hit 3% year-over-year unit growth. That would be surprising and a huge positive if they were able to do that. Most analysts expect them to hit between 1 and 5%, even less than 1% year-over-year unit growth over the next, you know, 5 years or so till they have their next big new product. So what they're looking for now is an expansion of their user base in order to grow in their services and software segments, but also to grow in terms of revenue, right? Just because unit sales aren't growing doesn't mean that they can't not grow their revenues. And the way they do that is they come out with more higher priced models. So what you can see is that they're shifting the line to these more expensive models that are likely to start at $900, $1,000, $1,100, $1,200, depending on the size and capacity you get. Whereas previous flagship iPhones started around $700, $800 years ago, well, you know, less than $600, right? Yeah. So what they're doing is they're making up for unit sales slowing by boosting their revenue growth.
So Apple is the most valuable public company on the planet. This strategy must be working for them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And this is a new strategy that they're turning to. And it's actually kind of smart, right? So if you're not going to boost units, just, you know, people are still going to buy the phones, but not in as big quantities as they were before. Just raise the prices and there you go. It makes up for it.
So if they're just going to raise the prices, what does this say about Apple's drive for innovation? Building new products?
That's a good question. You know, this is a strategic year, right? This is an S year, as some inside the company call it, because there are minor updates. So from a marketing perspective and a strategy perspective, it's a big, big revamp. But from an actual functionality perspective, features perspective, it's a very minor update this year.
So let's just look forward to maybe that next big product. You know, in the past year or so, earbuds have been successful. The HomePod, though, not so much. What are your sources telling you is Apple's next big thing?
So what we do know is that next year's iPhone, the 2019 iPhones, which maybe they'll call the iPhone 11 or maybe they'll drop the numbers, I think it's too early to tell, they probably haven't even decided yet, that's going to be a more significant update. So last year, the iPhone 10, that was a big upgrade year over year. It was a considerable effort to get that phone out last year. So next year is when they're going to have bigger changes to the iPhone lineup, which are going to be more exciting to consumers. Still too early to tell what exactly those will be. But I'm told they will be more exciting changes than this year. In terms of other new product categories, well, they have three main moonshot type of projects that we know about right now. One is an augmented reality headset, which would be a higher-end version of, let's say, Google Glass that we saw a few years ago, something that actually works. It'll sync with your iPhone, and it'll allow the device to present information to your eyesight. It'll have some gaming capabilities, a new type of screen and processor developed internally by Apple. They've been working on this since 2015, and they're targeting a launch by 2020, 2021. They're hoping to have the tech ready for it internally by the end of 2019. So this thing is moving along quickly. They have a team of nearly 1,000 people working on an operating system called ROS, which is basically, you know, how you have iOS for the iPhone and the iPad, tvOS for the Apple TV, watchOS for the Apple Watch, and macOS for the Mac. Well, ROS, Reality Operating System, would be a brand new operating system with an app store, stuff like that, for an augmented reality headset. So that is indeed their next big initiative, and it's likely to be sort of the center of what the company is going to be doing in 2 or 3 years from now.
You know, and there's also been a lot of talk, a lot of rumors about Apple getting into the car business. Is that still an option, or is it your sources kind of told you that that's not going to happen?
So that's moonshot number two, and that is something they are actively working on. They have, I believe, 3,000 to 5,000 people working on this. This is self-driving car technology. It's not clear yet what they're going to do with it, whether that's develop an Uber competitor, build their own car. Mm-hmm. I don't think truly that they know exactly what they're going to do yet, but when the time comes for them to decide, they will have that core technology ready for it.
Can you tell us about moonshot number three then?
Yeah, let's say about moonshot number three. This one hasn't gotten a lot of attention. It hasn't been much discussed. You know, here's a little exclusive for you guys. So they're working on a satellite hardware related project. They have a team that they're growing internally in their hardware division working on satellites. So whether that's imaging devices or perhaps something bigger like a cellular type of balloon initiative to, you know, mimic something that Google has done. I know Elon Musk has some people working on that as well. That's something they're working on, a satellite project.
Wow, that sounds like a big one. So Apple's obviously an enormously profitable company, generating billions of dollars every quarter. Warren Buffett just announced he is even, you know, increasing his stake in the company. But is there anything to be concerned about?
Anything to be concerned about? If they don't get that AR headset out and it's not a smash hit, you know, in a few years from now, perhaps there could be a little bit of concern. But they do have this growing services business that is doing very well, and it's going to become a, you know, a $50 billion business within a year or two, right, annually. So they have a lot of good things going, and it's just about the direction they want to take long term. And I think they don't even know yet what direction they're going to take long term. But I think that's going to clear itself up over time as consumers vote with their wallets.
Speaking of direction, the strategy, the three moonshots you just talked about, is all of this something Steve Jobs would have signed off on?
You know, that's a good question. I know before he passed away, there was a lot of discussion internally at Apple about eventually taking on Detroit, building a car company. I guess now it would be taking on, you know, Fremont or Tesla. So I think that's something that he would have definitely been interested. The augmented reality headset, obviously that, what Apple is known for is taking on a technology that others have tried but not done a very good job at, and that would fit the mold of sort of the thesis that Steve Jobs developed for Apple. And, you know, the same thing goes for satellite technology, right? Apple always wanted to own the core technologies that go into their products or power their products, and satellite infrastructure would go into that as well. And so that's something that Steve Jobs came up with, that thesis to own the back end of your products.
So the Steve Jobs legacy lives on.
The Steve Jobs legacy lives on, and the legacy really is two things. It's one, taking technologies that others haven't really done a good job with and perfecting it and making it mass consumable and making it mass marketed and selling, you know, billions of units eventually. And the other thing is owning the whole kit, owning what goes inside the phones. And you see every year Apple's doing more and more in terms of the architecture inside of their devices. So those are the two main things that he's left behind, and those two things are what Apple's really been focusing on.
Bloomberg News' Mark Gurman, thank you.
Thank you so much.
We'll keep an eye on your updates tomorrow from Cupertino. And you can keep an eye on those updates too, and all of Mark's scoops on Twitter. He's at Mark Gurman. That's a TikTok for today. Thanks for listening. And please, head on over to iTunes and let us know what you think. I'm Dave Myers. You can follow me on Twitter at David F. Myers. And you can get all your updates on Twitter 24/7 at TikTok.